Hello, good morning. Okay. Well, it's good to be here this morning. And I have the honor of speaking to us today about the parable of the talents. There we go. So my name is Wale, as you've heard. I have a wonderful wife, Tara, back there. We've been married for a little bit. In January, we'll be 21 years. So, as you can tell, I was about 15 when I got married. We have three kids, three wonderful kids. Our oldest daughter, Amber, is home this weekend from school. So, we have a college freshman, 18, and our son Joshua is back there with Tara. He's 15, and Sophia is 11, back in the preteen class. So that's us, for those who don't know us. And, you know, today, as we talk about this parable, if I can advance myself and multitask. Okay, I went too far. Okay. So we're talking about parables. Do we know what a parable is? Anybody? All right, we've been doing this for about 2 months. But I felt that I needed to put that on the screen anyways. A parable is a simple story used to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson as told by Jesus. And we primarily speak about them in terms of what we see in the Gospels. Our primary text today will be in Matthew chapter 25. We'll be reading from verse 14 to verse 30. And we see the very beginning of that here, Matthew 25, 14. It says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey. And so the question is, what is it referring to? And, you know, we've been talking about parables, but we're not necessarily going in sequence. So I need to give just a tiny bit of background here. We're in Matthew chapter 25. But, you know, in the context of the scriptures here, Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he had spoken about, you know, taught them using a couple of parables, this being the third one in a series. And, you know, to get a sense of what he's talking about, we can just look at the beginning of Matthew 25. It talks about the parable of the 10 virgins, and it starts there in verse 1. It says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like. And going on, as he starts this new parable, it says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey. So he's referring to the kingdom of God. It is the kingdom of God. And what he does, kind of a key focus in these parables, the group of parables, is he talks about the kingdom of God, and he urges his disciples to be prepared, to get ready, if they were to have any hope of securing their place in this eternal kingdom of his. Hence my title, are you ready? And we go back a little further in Matthew 24, we also see that he makes this statement a few times. So just before he starts, we get into verse 14, we see in verse 13, he says, therefore, as he ends the previous parable, therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. In Matthew 24, 42, it says, therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. So he's making a point and trying to teach them to be ready. And in the midst of these parables, he goes into the lesson that we're going to look at right now. So I'll read. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gains 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags, for whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So just to make sure we're on the same page here, you know, he talks about bags of gold, and depending on what text you're reading, what version or translation of the Bible you have, it may say bag of gold, it may say wealth, it may say talents, you know. And in fact, when you look at the footnotes in verse 15, the bag of gold is referred to as talents, right? And that's a unit of measure, specifically referring to money. And what we see in here is that 1 talent was worth about 20 years of a day laborer's wages. 20 years. So if in today's terms, I earn $150 a day, that would translate in 20 years to $780,000 for 1 talent. So if I were to be given in 1 moment by my master 5 talents, that would equate to almost $4 million. And this is what the master did. Obviously, he was very wealthy. Can you imagine being given such responsibility? Most of us don't have $4 million. Most of us. I'm part of that most. But what the parable is really talking about is God. And us. And if we'll take a moment to just draw what may be an obvious parallel to some of us, you know, we have this master who entrusts some of his wealth to his servants. And then he goes away for an extended period of time, undisclosed amount of time, and then he returns. Sound familiar, right? Jesus is the master. He's gone away for an extended period of time. And we'll be back when he determines that the time is right. And we have been entrusted with his wealth, with many of his riches. We are the servants who don't know the day or the hour of the master's return. Upon his return, though, the master demands an accounting from them for how they have managed his wealth, how they have managed the property that is rightfully his, just like Jesus will from us one day. So the parable then is about how we take care of what he has entrusted to us. And that brings me to my first point. You know, we are stewards, not owners. We are stewards, not owners. A steward is one who manages or looks after someone else's property. There's a sense of responsibility that goes with that. There's a desire and an expectation that they will do their best to manage it well and do well with what is entrusted to them. You know, I live in this building, not this building, in a building, and there are several other disciples that live in my building, and for several years now, I've been on the board of directors for our building. Myself, along with Pedro McLeod, and recently, our dear sister Naomi is now on the board as well. So of the nine people on the board, three of us are, you know, brothers and sister in Christ, and thank God for that. But there's a certain responsibility that goes with that, right? You know, there's what you call a fiduciary responsibility, right? That there's a sense of responsibility for how you manage the affairs of the cooperative, of how you take care of that and do the best with the resources you have. And we have a vested interest. We live there too, right? So it's not just something that we're managing. It's our home, and we're trying to take care of it. And think about that, you know, what a steward, that's what a steward is. You know, you have a sense of responsibility for how you take care of whatever it is that's been entrusted to you. So this parable does specifically talk about money, but we're entrusted with a whole lot more than that, right? It's not just money. As Christians, we rightfully believe that everything we have is a gift from God. That is true. And sometimes we use those gifts well, and sometimes we don't. You notice here that the master gave talents to each according to his ability. That's what it says in verse 15. You know, and that's the same for us. He gives us according to our abilities as he sees fit. And he trusts that we can do well with what he gives us. I'm grateful for the many people in this church who do many things to serve us and take care of us. Even as we sit here talking and listening and, you know, think about our teachers, you know, in the back, taking care of our kids and teaching them and making sure that they learn some spiritual truths to supplement, hopefully, what we try to do at home and how we live our lives as an example to them. You know, some of them do it because they're good at it. Some of them do it because they just want to serve and there's a need. Whatever the case is, I mean, we have people who serve in many different ways. You come into this building on a Sunday morning and we have the ushers and people who are welcoming us in the back there. And they bear some responsibility for how people feel when they come into the building. And in some sense, if they want to come back. Right? I mean, we all do, but, I mean, they're the face that they see when people come in, when we come in, you know? And some of us actually like people, you know? Like, if you like people, and I know most of us, we like people because we're Christians. I get that. You know, I'm part of that group. But if you actually like people, you should consider being an usher, you know, being somebody who welcomes people. You know, if the first thing you do when you see people is smile, and it's taking me a long time to get there, 20 years plus of marriage, and almost 30 years of Christendom, it takes a long time for some of us, but if it's your strength, if it's your talent, you should consider doing something with it. Be part of the welcome team. We have people who do security while we're, you know, doing whatever it is in the building and not even thinking about what's happening. They're the ones, you know, making sure that everything is in order, that we're safe, that our kids are safe, you know, in the classes back there that everything is going well. You know, the announcement was made, I believe, 2 weeks ago for volunteers for the tech team. And I saw the list. I had reached out to Mike. How did that go? And I saw a list of almost 20 people who volunteered. And some people put specific things they think they can help with and or want to help with. You know, whether they can do it or they are hoping to learn it, I don't know. But amen. I mean, they signed up. They want to do these things. They want to help. I know there's a meeting coming up soon, maybe next week or so. I'm not part of that. But amen to that. I appreciate and I'm thankful for those who serve. So the question is, what are you doing with your gifts? What am I doing with what God has blessed me with my abilities? It doesn't have to be that we're awesome at it. A talent, it can be one talent, it could be two, it could be five. Whatever it is, it doesn't have to be a huge amount of talent. It just has to be really the desire to serve. You know, I understand and I realize that sometimes some of us may have to wrestle with whether or not we believe we've been gifted. You know, whether we, and I mean that in the sense that we can feel like we're responsible for our circumstances, you know, in our current state. And I'm not, I wouldn't dispute that. You know, that may well be true. You may have a lot to do with your current circumstances, but you didn't create the beginning environment that you were in. You know, you started somewhere that you had nothing to do with. And if you came from a crazy or humble beginnings or whatever it is, and things are great now and life is pretty good, then you got to ask yourself, what is it? What makes it so that I was able to get out of those circumstances where so many other people are unable to do the same? That's the gift that you've been given. That's the blessing. That's the difference, is the abilities that you've been blessed with, that God has allowed for you to come out of whatever the circumstances are and do more with it. We have to be grateful. And if we don't recognize this, then we may have a problem with gratitude. And I hope that we don't have to be terribly humbled for us to get to that realization that we've been blessed tremendously. What has God entrusted to you? What are you doing for God with it? So I want to highlight very quickly three areas that I believe we have been entrusted with things from God. First, and I'm trying to paint like kind of very broad strokes here, because the list can go on. I mean, there can be so many things that we can talk about, but I think these kind of cover, for the most part, at least the thoughts that I had and what I looked up and found. So one is our abilities. And the question is, do I use my abilities to serve God? What do you do well? What specific skills do you have? How are you using these for God? And I think we all have something to offer. It just boils down to sometimes, like I said earlier, to just our willingness. You know, there's so many strengths that many of us use to serve God and serve the kingdom and serve our communities around us. You know, I think about people who can cook. You know, I mean, I like to think I can, I just don't. But, you know, some of the guys, we get together sometimes and we have different events. Some of us, not just guys, but, you know, large groups of us, Bible talks and family groups and all of that. You know, I know, I remember, I think about my brother Lee Chan. You know, Lee is, we're like twins, you know, we're just about 2 days apart, birthday-wise. And so oftentimes when we get together and we kind of celebrate our birthday, it's us and a bunch of other brothers, and, you know, we hang out. And other times, Lee's the one who does the cooking, but on that day, whenever that is, he's not allowed to cook, right? Because he'll do it. He loves to barbecue and do all these things, and he'll bring his, you know, his grill and whatever, the pit, whatever it is. You know, I'm not sounding like much of a chef right now, am I? I mean, I think about when we have different events and people make places look good that you have no you know, desire to be in, usually. You know, think about how Monique can transform her space and other people. I mean, I've seen, like, Women's Day and didn't realize this was the same building. And this doesn't look bad, but, like, where are they? We have gifts that we use, and we do amazing things with it. You know, some of us are able to counsel people and encourage them, you know, and speak in ways that call others higher. How are we using the gifts that we have? Our finances. Am I a good steward of the finances I've been blessed with? Do I pay close attention to how I use my resources? Am I generous with what God has given me? Think about our status or position. And I think in terms of really every place you find yourself in life, I'm not talking about leadership necessarily or whatever, being the boss of anything. I'm saying your position right now in life, whatever that is, how do you use that? What type of influence do you exert with the position that God has put you in? How are you glorifying God with your position, whether it's leadership or not, whether you're a parent, a spouse, a friend, or a child, whether you're a student or a teacher, whoever you are, you are somewhere today. And you may occupy many and maybe even all of these different positions. How is God glorified as a result of your position? See, God has entrusted us with a lot. And, you know, I've seen a lot of these gifts on display in my life. And I'm not talking about myself, but what I've received and how I've been blessed and encouraged by many of you, you know, in my family's time of need, and just the tremendous blessing that it is to have people who care so much and want to take care of you. You know, and I specifically highlighted some of those words there. Talk about serving and generosity and encouragement. You know, the last couple of years I've been crazy in so many ways. This year has been a lot more stable. But last year, 2022, for more than 2 months in 2022, my son was in the hospital. You know, just in the ICU for about a month, had surgery, was in and out of hospital. I mean, it was very tumultuous. It was crazy. And it took a lot to just try to maintain some semblance of normalcy in the other parts of our lives. While Tara and I were alternating in the hospital, you know, who's staying over because we stayed with him every night. You know, where sometimes people came and stayed with the girls so that we could be there together. When I went back to work, I took, I don't know, maybe a week and a half or so, and I went back to work, and, you know, it's like going from work to the hospital before going home, you know, all the blessings that we received. I mean, people sent us food cooked or gift cards, whatever. Like, I didn't have to worry about much of that. You know, people came and gave our kids rides home from school. We had people taking them out, just go do something on a Saturday so that we could just be, you know, at the hospital. It was amazing. But this is what we do. This is how we're supposed to live our lives as Christians. What has God blessed you? What abilities do you have? How can you be a source of encouragement? How can you build up his kingdom and take care of his people? Romans chapter 12, I'll read it here. It says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. What are your gifts and how are you using them to honor God? We're stewards, not owners. I'm not talking about works. I'm not talking about, you know, living a Christian life that is dependent on our performance. I'm simply talking about living the life that the Master actually calls us to, like doing what he expects of us. And we see it. I mean, we see it all around us every single day. We see many people, even people who profess no faith whatsoever, just have a simple desire to live purposeful lives that make a difference. You know, as Christians, how much more so should we be striving to make a difference around us? We're stewards. No, no, let's be good caretakers of the many blessings that God has entrusted to us. So there's a question that I kept coming back to as I read this passage and as I thought about this. And the question is, how do I turn 2 talents into 4? Or how do I turn 5 talents into 10? Does anybody wonder about that? Anybody want to know the answer to that? Anybody want? Yeah? Not enough of us want to know. I'm not sure I have the answer. You know, but what I can say is this. I believe that we can put our talents to use. We can put our gifts, our abilities to use, put them to work, and see how they make an impact. Some of it we'll be able to see. And those impacts can build a lasting legacy. And then some of those things we'll never even know because the impact will be eternal. But we have to put them to work and put them to good use. But what I can tell you with absolute certainty is this. You will never multiply your talents by burying them. You will never multiply your talents by burying them. And that brings me to my second point. Final point. The master will return. The master will return. You know, the first 2 servants multiplied the talents, but the third one buried it. You know, I can imagine just these 2 coming to the master just full of excitement to let him know what they've done. And I imagine just as stewards feeling the weight of responsibility when they were handed $4 million or 2 or 1 point something, whatever it, you know, it equates to. Just the enormous responsibility that they had to feel in that moment. And they decided, I've got to do something with this. And they went very quickly to put it to use. But the third one buried the talent. So the master will return, and when he returns, there will be an accounting for what we've done with all he's entrusted to us. Jesus will return one day. And just remember, one key objective that we see in the parable here and the preceding ones was that just the sense of readiness that he wanted to impart in his disciples. This urgency, you know, to be prepared for his return. Are you ready for the master's return? What if that day was today? What if he came back today? How would your accountability session go? As he asks about what he has entrusted to you. As he inquires, Wally, I put you on that board. Gave you this position. Who has been inspired by your commitment and service? Who was called to better integrity? Who was called to selfless service? Who was able to put aside their selfish ambitions for being in that position as a result of your influence? How did you use your gifts? You know, this first 2 servants come to him and talk about having doubled their gifts. How they've doubled the money. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. But then, in verse 24, it says, the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Excuse me. Master, he said, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. So See, here is what belongs to you. I'm going to keep reading. I wanted to put the rest of the passage on, so I'll read it from here. Verse 26 says, his master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seeds. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags, for whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So this third servant was afraid. It says, I was afraid and went and hid your gold in the ground. So he was afraid and took absolutely no risk. He did what he thought was the safest thing to do. And that might sound good, except that you can see his heart behind it in the words that he says to the master. See, those words were not true. And the master repeated his words, not as an agreement, but he was simply restating what he said. And he says to him, if what you say is true, the least you could have done is put my money on deposit. And it would have grown. It would have yielded something. It would not have stayed the same. Think about that. I think it was, the Easy Button, those commercials we used to see all those years ago. Was it Staples or something? I don't know. Staples. Like, that was an easy answer. Put it on deposit. That's all you have to do. It makes money. Don't bury it. He made probably the only wrong choice he could have made. Like, anything else would have been okay, except burying it. He called him a wicked and lazy servant, and he was cast into darkness as a result, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, I want to hear him say, well done, as he did with the first two servants. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share in your master's happiness. I want that for all of us. I'm sure you want that for yourself. The third servant just did not understand the master. He didn't know his master, and he didn't understand what his master wanted from him. You know, and we think of that in terms of who God is. God is not harsh. He's not a harsh master who wants us to be miserable, but rather he wants us to enjoy the life that we have, and he wants us to live it well. God wants to protect and care for us. In John chapter 10, verse 10, it says here, and I'm not giving a whole lot of context, he's talking about a shepherd and how much he cares for his sheep and protects them. But it says, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Of course, Jesus is the shepherd and we're the sheep, and he wants to protect his sheep. He wants to protect them. He has a vested interest in how they do. He loves us. He cares for us. Does not want to see us miserable. This servant was sorely mistaken. He completely missed it. And I think sometimes we have such a view of God. And it impacts the decisions that we make and whether or not we follow God and strive to serve him. See, if you see yourself more like this third servant, at least in the sense that you need a better understanding. You know, you may not be feeling like I'm burying everything. You know, sometimes we don't tell ourselves the truth. But if you need a better understanding of who God is, of who the Master is, and if you want to know him better, we'll be happy to help you. We love to do that. We study the Bible. We try to be better each and every day. And we're flawed human beings. But that's our goal. That's our objective. Don't make your decisions based on a flawed or wrong view of God. Strive to understand and know him better. If you're visiting or if you have questions, I encourage you to talk to whoever invited you. If you're watching online, you know, you can go on our page, you know, the church page is bkchurch.com. You know, there's a resources tab there, and you can actually, you know, try to connect with a church near you, and somebody will get back to you. But we do this because we understand that we're flawed, that we need a deeper understanding, that we need to be better and better every single day, because that's what the scriptures call us to draw nearer to him, to serve him the way he calls. And we learn a couple of things from this parable as we close out here. You know, we learn that everything we have is a gift from God. We are simply stewards, not owners. And we also learn that Jesus will return. He will return one day. And when he comes back, we all will have to give an account of the life that we lived. You know, I hope that when that day comes, we'll all be ready to hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen.